pray. And our scripture this morning is John 9:24-34, and I've carved out a little small part of it to read to you, but we're going to talk about the entire chapter during the sermon time. So at this moment where I pick up, this is after Jesus has restored the sight to the blind man, and the Pharisees are questioning him. So in verse 24 it says, "So for a second time they," and that would be the Pharisees, "summoned the man who had been blind and said to him, 'Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner.'" That would be them talking about Jesus. "He then answered, 'Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see.' So they said to him, 'What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?' He answered them, 'I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You do not want to become his disciples too, do you?' They spoke abusively to him and said, 'You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he is from.' The man answered and said to them, 'Well, here's the amazing thing, that you do not know where he is from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if someone is God-fearing and does his will, he listens to him. Since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing.' They answered him, 'You were born entirely in sins, and yet you are teaching us.' So they put him out." This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen. Something we use every single day, we don't really give much thought to, but we rely on it for everything we do. It's our senses. Yeah. If you think about it, we do. We rely on it for absolutely everything we do. But we sort of take them for granted. We assume that they will function as they are supposed to and as they always have, and that nothing will really change. We plan on being able to see and hear. We hear about losing those a little bit more often than other things, but think about the sense of feel and touch, the sense of taste, and the sense of smell. Well, I had kind of forgotten that this event happened 6 years ago this week, but one of my Facebook friends posted that 6 years ago this past week was when COVID shut everything down. Did you realize that we just had that anniversary? That's when we had to start staying home. We couldn't go to church. We weren't supposed to even go outside if we were going to run into other people. And my favorite one, even when the public bathrooms all closed down. And that one I remember because we had went down to see our kids in Arizona, and there wasn't a bathroom open all the way across the state of New Mexico that we could stop and go to the bathroom. We were pulling our in-progress work, a little Airstream that is still kind of in progress, and we were driving through New Mexico, and part of the bottom of it fell out, and I wasn't sure if we could even go into a store to buy supplies to fix it, because if you weren't from in town, you weren't supposed to go in anywhere. And so I told John, take off your hat that says, like, Kansas City on it and go in, because we got to do something. But we couldn't stop and go to the bathroom or anything, and I was, like, everything was closed, right? But during COVID, we learned that smell and taste could disappear like that. Mm-hmm. Remember how odd that was? That when somebody first said they'd lost their sense of taste and smell, we went, that's so weird. I can't imagine losing that particular sense. We had a lady, Annette, that went to Ohio Street Church, and she lost her sense of taste and smell. She actually just passed this year. She never got back her sense of taste and smell. And what she was known for was she baked cookies all the time. And she was always baking them for church, and she would say, do they still taste good? Because I'm following all my instructions, but I have no idea what they smell like or taste like anymore. So we can lose those, and we sort of take for granted that that's something we would never lose. Or how about the sense of feel? That's one we don't consider losing, right, is being able to feel things with our hands. But that's what my mom struggles with an awful lot. She can't feel things with her hands anymore. She has neuropathy in her hands, and she can't grip things, so she doesn't trust, because she can't tell that she's got a hold of it. But can you imagine losing the sense of walking into the store, and I know this is probably not a guy thing, But us ladies, and maybe some of the guys, and you just wouldn't tell us, walk into the store and pet the soft blankets in Walmart when you walk in the winter. Always love when they bring out the soft blankets because you got to walk through and touch everything. My bags, my purses, that I usually carry one that's soft and put it on my lap and I touch it while I'm driving. I love soft things. So it's hard to imagine not being able to feel when things are soft. Our senses make life complete and they bring us joy and they also help us to navigate. So like if you can't see, you use your hands, right? You guys know I'm always talking about watching Survivor, and I love watching those ones when they put like the blindfold over their whole heads and send them out where there's logs and all these things, and they're tripping over them and running into things because they can't see. And I think, guys, use your hands. Feel where you're at. But our bodies were designed so interestingly that when one sense is lost, we sort of compensate in another way, right? So if something's weak or not working, something else becomes heightened to help with what's broken. Now, the guy that we read about today had no vision, and it was not unusual for someone who has no vision to compensate by using their hands. I can't imagine reading with my fingers like they do in Braille, but they can read that texture and know what things say. They can feel objects in their surroundings, and they navigate the world often using their hands. The world is different for them, but I think it makes people more attentive when you have to compensate. For example, myself, if you've ever had a conversation with me in a noisy room, you might notice that I stare at your mouth. Now, technically, my hearing is supposed to work well. My son did that little, put his earbuds in my ears and did this little test on me, and I could hear all the things I was supposed to hear, but if there's another noise going on, my brain, for some reason, can't sort out the voice that's right there and all the other noises. So I know being weird comes naturally to me, but I'm not really being weird when I stare at your mouth. I'm trying to see, I've kind of learned how to read the shapes that your mouth is making, and I use it all the time on the grandkids, and you'll hear me say to the grands, no, 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 turn around here. Look at me when you're talking to me. And it's not because I want them, well, I mean, sort of want them to hear me, but so I can understand them by seeing their mouths. And so we compensate and we become more attentive. And that is the way that I do, trying to hear better. Sometimes our senses work together in ways that we don't even realize. You ever catch yourself turning one ear to people? You know how many years I did that? I didn't even realize it until I became a pastor and I was standing here at this pulpit and people would be talking to me and I started going like this to try and hear them. And I didn't realize it for quite a few months, and all of a sudden I thought, I always turn the same ear. Is that one here better than the other one? So we can be doing things and compensating and not even realize that we're doing it. It's just something we sort of have happen. Well, in this story, we have this man who was born blind. He never knew anything different. He had spent his entire life depending on those other senses instead of his sight. He had learned to listen more carefully, to pay attention to the voices, noticing differences in voices so he could pick out a single person. Probably heard a lot of sounds that we might even overlook. In the story in the scripture today, his ability to listen is incredibly important because the people who should have been able to see what was going on, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the ones who should have seen who Jesus was were not able to see. In fact, they refused to. But the man born blind, the one who had never seen anything in his entire life, heard Jesus and believed in what he could hear. That's kind of an interesting sentence to think about, right? As I believe it when I hear it, because that's not how we usually say it, is it? What do we usually say?
We believe it.
I believe it when I see it. Where do we live? Missouri. What is Missouri?
Show me state.
I'll believe it when I see it. Do you know? Nobody has known so far, so I will see if it's unanimous. Do y'all know where we got that title, the Show Me State? Being who we are, we never agree on things, and so there are a lot of different theories on how we became the Show Me State, but there are two dominant ones. The first one happened in the late 1800s, and it was a congressman named Willard Duncan Van Diver. I guess that's how you say his name. Who was giving a speech, and he was saying, about all the other politicians, that they were all making promises, right? And he basically said, well, you know what? The words mean nothing until we see something come of those promises. It's when you show me that I will believe what you say. And so there was that. But then the other one that's a pretty popular one was not actually given by Missouri to Missouri. It was given by Colorado people to Missouri. Because there was this strike among the miners in Colorado, and they all quit working. And so a whole group of miners from their people from Missouri went to Colorado to do the mining, but they didn't know how to do it. And so when they got there, they were constantly saying what to the people that were in Colorado? Show me how. Because we didn't know. And so the Colorado people started saying, people from Missouri need to be shown everything. You got to show me. And so those are kind of the theories on where we came up with being the show me state. In our region, we are known for being skeptical people. Isn't that funny? Did you know we were known for being skeptical people? And we like to be shown that there's proof of things, and also we like to be shown how things are done. And that's why we often are saying, I'll believe it when I see it. But this story flips that thinking on its head, because it wasn't about being seen, it was who he heard. He heard and he believed. The man who could not see was the one who could see most perfectly. And the ones who were supposed to see refused. This example of who God was Jesus Christ doing the things. He was showing the people what God looked like, how God loved, how God could heal. He was right in front of the Pharisees, literally showing them, and they rejected him. Have you ever talked to someone who said something like, I'll believe in God when God answers my prayers, and then seen God answer their prayers, and they went, oh, well, that was a coincidence. That happens. That really happens. Sometimes we're in the middle of stressing over something, right? Trying to decide how to tackle it. We go, God, I don't even know what I'm supposed to do. And then all of a sudden the answer is revealed, or the resources are revealed, and we're able to take care of what we needed to. And we go, wow, what a lucky thing. What a coincidence that happened. Is it really a coincidence? It's God's provision, right? Gordon, who comes out here sometimes, always says, is it odd or is it God? And I love that. It sticks with me all the time. Is it odd or is it God? God's provision. As I was typing that down, I thought, what is the last half of that word, provision? Vision. What is pro? Good things? It's positive things. So provision would be the good things we see, right? God's good things we see. Provision. John 9 begins by telling us that Jesus and his disciples happened by a man who was born blind. Well, the disciples are curious about this man, and they say to Jesus, whose fault is it that this man is blind? Was he born in sin, meaning had he sinned inside the womb? I don't know, kicked his mother too hard? I don't know how you sin inside the womb. Anyway, did he do something wrong before he was born, or did his parents do something and they're being punished for it? We wrestle with this a little bit sometimes today, right? If things are going wrong, sometimes we go, man, God must really be upset with me. Well, if you've ever thought that, then Jesus answers you in John 9, verse 3. He said, it was neither the man nor his parents. That's the best part of that sentence. This sentence is one that the first part we are glad to hear, and the second part we can sometimes make something messy out of it. Because the second half of the sentence is, it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. So sometimes we read this and we think, so does God allow bad things to happen for us so he can save us? Does he allow calamity so he can be the hero in it? No. What I interpret this to mean more is God can bring good things out of anything. And so to be able to do something good, other people will be able to see it. And so no one sinned, but God will bring something good of the situation. That's what that whole sentence means to me. We can compare that to Job and his friends when things were going wrong in Job's life. What did what did his friends say? Well, God must be really mad at you, buddy. Well, they were wrong, and so was the disciples. We also have a tendency to put the word bad on things that are not necessarily bad. Think about that. If we make a plan and things don't go according to what our plan is, we think we've had bad luck. But have you ever gone through a whole situation and maybe weeks or months or years later you look back on it and you see how things came out and you realize that things didn't go the way you planned because God had a better one? At the time, we thought it was bad luck. Bad. No, not even luck. It was just not the way it was supposed to come out. So when we see a person who has a different ability or lacks an ability, we look at them, we look at the blind man, and we go, oh, isn't that terrible? He was blind. Inconvenient for us because we can see this man never knew anything different. Was he bad? No. He was just different. We feel bad for him because we think it would be a struggle to not be able to see. And that's probably true. But he could have lived a full life if everybody around him wouldn't have thought he had cooties. Right? So we put that bad onto this person. We have no proof that there was anything bad. In fact, Christ said he hadn't sinned. Neither had his parents. And in fact, God was showing his provision through this man. He was working in this man's life. And the man himself said, if someone knows God, God will work through them. Makes me think maybe God was doing work through this guy for longer than anybody really knew. But Jesus comes along, he sees this man, and he decides to make him what I'm calling biblically whole. Giving him original sight. But the Pharisees, and that's another one of those fun words today, what's the second half of the word Pharisee? See? These are the guys who were supposed to see God and know God and understand God and dedicate their lives to God, but they were the ones who were blind. These are the guys who could not see, even though see is in their name. Just seems funny to me. The blind man listened to Jesus and did exactly what Jesus said. They acted this out during children's time today, and the lady was saying to the kids, and how did Jesus do it? He spit in the dirt and made it into mud and poured it on that guy. She goes, what would you do if somebody came at you with dirt that they'd spit in? And I thought, well, good thing you couldn't see it, huh? Because I probably would have went, I don't really know. Put that on my nose. But anyway, so he saw for himself Jesus by hearing his voice. Now the people around that saw what was happening, they knew this guy. They'd seen him out there begging for money. And all of a sudden, all these folks that have been watching this guy for his whole life, for some reason, I feel like he's in his 30s. I don't know why I feel like he's in his 30s. But they see the same guy come walking into town. He's not feeling around with his hands. He's not using a cane. He's not begging for money. It looks as if he can see with his eyes, and they go, isn't that Jim? Isn't that same guy that couldn't see? And they all kind of look at him, and they're like, I know that's him. And some of them are so dumbfounded, and they go, oh, no, that isn't him. They don't believe it's him. The world's clear that up, so they walk right up to the guy, and they say, are you the guy that was blind? Yep, I'm him. And they go, nope, I don't believe you. If you read this whole chapter, this is kind of how the conversation goes. They say, no, we don't believe you. We're going to call your parents. And they call the parents, have the parents come in, and they say, is this your son? Yep. Was he actually born blind? Yep. Is this the same man then, and he can see? Yep, that's him. And they say, well, tell us how that can be. And the parents say, he's an adult. Ask him. And so they do. They ask him again. And still, the people say, don't believe it. Provision, something good. You can see with your eyes happening, and none of the people would believe it. That can't be the same guy. I think about our world today. Conspiracy theorists abound, right? There's this whole conspiracy right now that Jim Carrey appeared in, France or something to accept an award, and it was a body double, right? And they're thinking it wasn't really Jim Carrey because he looks different. All this conspiracy, and I think I can imagine reading all these articles about Jim and seeing how they must have been with this guy and thinking, They'd have had him on every news channel. They'd have had all these people, experts in vision, come in and being on the news channels, and one of them would have come in and said, that's a miracle of God himself, and the next one would have come in and said, no way, no way. If you believe that's who that is, then you just will get out of my country. I don't want anything to do with you. And you might think that sounds extreme, but that's actually what was happening. Is the religious leaders at the time said, if you claim that this really was Jesus, that if this was the Christ, then you're excommunicated from our community. And so they call the man in and they say, tell us again what happened. He says, I don't know why you want to know. I've already answered you. You don't want to hear it. And he said, it's really funny that you guys are the ones who are supposed to know, but you see what has happened. And the only way it could happen is if God was involved. And so I'm saying God was involved in it, and he offended them. Because he said, why, do you want to be a disciple too? And they're like, no. We follow the God of Moses. We don't know who you're following. He says, well, all I can tell you is I don't know everything, but I know I was blind, and I know now I can see. And they said, get out of our town. You're no longer welcome. They put him out. That was the last words of that scripture, and that's what it means. They kicked him out of town for believing what happened to his body. They refused to see. They elected to stay blind. And don't you think that's sad? That they elected to not see. And so we can ask ourselves today, when things are wrong in our life, is it because God is silent or angry? Or is it that we're not listening to what God is saying or believing in the things that God is showing to us? Because the truth is, God provides for us every single day. Sometimes when we ask for the joys, we're hard-pressed to come up with something that's happened that we think is a joy. So I've been putting everyone on the spot this morning, and I'm going to do it to you too. What has God provided for you today? 1st thing that you saw God provide this morning, what was it?
A devotion.
Oh, yeah, Shirley?
A nice warm house.
Yeah? You said a devotion?
A day,
yes. That's been usually the first answer. Well, I woke up. So you started the day on the right side of things. What else has God provided today? Thankfully, everybody in the room has clothing on. And we have warm clothes to go with our warm house. We have a warm meal waiting for us out there, food in our belly, provision. We were able to get the ingredients to make the meal. We were able to have the talent to put the food together and make it into something that is edible, right? That's provision. What else? Sammy pointed to this little group of noise up here because the noise equals what? Life. What else has God's provision given you today? Go ahead. A place to worship. A way to get here? What else? We could spend all day. We wouldn't actually name them all, would we? The Bible. The freedom to own one. The freedom to read one. The freedom to talk about it. Give us a mind to be able to take it in and to have a conversation with one another about it. Oh, wait, God gave us each other that we could do that. That we could sit together at lunch. God gave us technology so that it's easier to see than our hymnal. Love, friends, and family. I'm hearing a lot of provision, right? Good things that show us God. Provision. We have it. And so when we ask ourselves, what is God revealing to me? Start simple. I've been really using that whole kiss thing lately. Keep it simple, stupid. Stick with the simple stuff. God has been providing. And we choose whether or not to see it. And we can be honest and say, I don't know everything, but what I do know is that God has provided for me today. So the invitation for us is simple. Listen to Christ. Watch for the provision in your life. And when you see it, don't dismiss it as just a coincidence, just something that happened. Recognize it for what it is. I have 3 whole minutes, but I'll tell you the same story. I thought of it this morning. Some of you, I know that some of you have heard it, but when I was working here and at Harrisonville, and Pastor Kevin took me aside and he said, "Pastor Julie, I want you to quit being the pastor at Virginia and come be an associate pastor here and a youth leader here." And so he told me I had to choose, and I had a couple days to do it. And I got in my car, and it was when Deanne was here and she was ill, and we, you know, were closer to family here, and I was praying, and I said, "Lord, I know you are supposed to come first, but you gave me my family. And I don't know whether I'm being pressed to put my family first or whether I'm being pressed to go outside my comfort zone. So please tell me what I'm supposed to do." And I'm driving out of Harrisonville praying this. And a semi without his trailer on pulled onto the on-ramp in front of me as a blue semi with white cursive writing on the back. And it said, "Family before anything else," across the back of this truck. And I picked up the phone and I called Pastor Kevin and I said, "I am not supposed to take your job." He was offering me a raise. He was begging me to, and I said, "I'm not supposed to do that. God said family first." I could have said, "Well, that's a coincidence, right? Keep it simple, stupid. Just take it for what it is." If we're in the middle of a prayer and God answers, say thank you. And that's what I did. I was like, "Really? That's pretty literal. Thanks." And then called Kevin. Let yourself recognize provision for what it is. Because when we really begin to listen to Jesus, we will see that that provision is absolutely all around us all the time. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this wonderful visualization we have of the man who could not see with his eyes in his head, but he could see with the eyes in his heart. He could hear your voice, and he was drawn to you. Lord, we pray for the people who are like the Pharisees, who say, "I refuse to believe it," because, Lord, they're missing out. So, Lord, we pray that you would help us to get them to see, and you would help us to bring more people closer to you. You would help us to see what is so simple in our lives and know that even that simple stuff is from you. Lord, thank you so much. You are so generous to us, and all of our good gifts come from you. So, Lord, what we have gathered today in offering, we pray that you would bless that and that it would bring someone else out of the darkness to see the provision of your hands. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be a part of your ministry on earth. And help us, Lord, to always give with grateful hands and listening hearts. In your name we pray. Amen.